continuing Bhagavad Saptaha. Today is fifth canto, beginning with the teachings of Bhagavan Rishabhdev. So, Agnidara had nine sons, the oldest of which his name was Nabhi Maharaj. Nabhi Maharaj had a desire to have a son like Narayan. Therefore, he performed yajna. When the Supreme Lord appeared before him, that time the priests said, "O Lord, we are most foolish. We are worshipping you for material things. Please be kind upon King Nabhi. King Nabhi, he wants a son like you." Therefore, the Lord said, "Since I cannot find anyone equal to me or the same as me, then I shall personally expand myself to become the son of Maharaj Nabhi." Therefore, the Supreme Lord appeared as the incarnation called Rishabhdev. Bhagavan Rishabhdev ki jai. Every day the king's affection for his son grew unlimitedly. And the citizens also had so much affection on Bhagavan Rishabhdev, who was more affectionate than millions of mothers and fathers. Sometimes the king, due to his own ecstasy, would falter and weep, "Oh my son, my son." In due course of time, King Nabhi could understand that his son was most beloved of the citizens. Therefore, he took sannyas and went to the forest, therefore installing his son as king. So Bhagavan Rishabhdev, the oldest son's name was Bharat Maharaj. You know Bharat? India is named after Bharat Maharaj, the eldest of the 100 sons of King Nabhi. The next 9 sons were the Navayogendras, whose names were, can you remember? Havi, Kavi, Navayogendras, 9 Brahmins. And the other remaining 91 sons were also Brahmanas. Therefore, it's not a fact that one's Varna can be determined by birth, because Maharaj Rishabhdev was Kshatriya by birth, but his 9 sons were Brahmanas and the rest were Kshatriyas. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, guna karma, what's the first one? Guna karma. Chatur vana maya srishtam guna karma vibhagasa. This system of varnashram has been established by me. One can know one's varna only by one's guna or by one's karma. Therefore, Rishabhdev, as ideal king, he ruled the kingdom for so many thousands of years. And to show that one should not be too much attached to family life, when the sons were a little mature, Bhagavan Rishabhdev wanted to take sannyas. Therefore, before he left, he called all his sons and gave them instructions. That is the very, very powerful instructions of King Rishabhdev to his sons. Sirishabhu vacha. Nayam deho deha bhajam niloke kastam kaman aradhi vidbujam ye tapo divyam putrika yena sattvam sudhayad yasmat brahmasukyam tvi anantam. O my dear brothers, my dear sons, now that you have been awarded this rare human form of life, one should not use it in material engagements, material enjoyment, which is available even for the stool eaters. You know English? Aap Hindi jante hain? Kahan kahan? English. Nayam deho deha bhajam nilokam. My dear sons, now that you have achieved this human form of birth, one should not misuse the human form of birth for material sense enjoyment. Because material enjoyment, like having sex life, having children, this is available even for the stool eaters. Arhatam bhujam, vid bhujam. Stool eaters means, in India especially, pigs and dogs eating stool. Therefore, material happiness is available in all species of life, but the human life should not be meant for material enjoyment. Therefore, one who has been given the rare gift of the human form of life should not work day and night simply for sense gratification. Instead, divyoptapam, this human form of life should be used for austerities. Sometimes, if you want to enjoy material facility, the human body is not the most proper for that. One time there was a lawyer walking down the street and there was a pig sleeping on the pavement. So that lawyer gave the pig a kick. And the pig said, "Why are you kicking me?" And the lawyer said, "Because you are a hog and I'm a human." And the pig asked, "In which way are you superior to me? You only have one wife, but I have many wives. Your one wife can only have one child once a year, but my wives can have 12 children four times a year. You have to work very hard in order to sleep. You have to buy some real estate, build a house, put on the air conditioning. But for me, the whole world is my hotel. I sleep anywhere. You have to labor very hard just for eating. You have to get some money, go to the market, buy the vegetables, cut the vegetables, cook, wash the pots. But not me. Everywhere I go is fresh. I can eat anywhere. Therefore, you are not superior to me in any way." Therefore, in the end of the 11th canto, it describes what is the difference between an animal and a human. Only one difference: animal has the human being has ability to perform devotional service. The human being has ability to control mind and senses, but the lesser species have no chance. Therefore, my dear boys, in the human form of life, one has the chance to perform tapo divyam putukayena sattvam sudyadyasmin brahmasukam tuyanantam. In the human form of life, one has the ability to perform austerities. Then he can taste brahmasukha tuyanantam. He can taste unlimited happiness in spirit, brahmasukha, which is unlimited and which lasts forever. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, "All material enjoyment has a beginning and it has an end, therefore it's temporary. Therefore one should not try for what is temporary." Last night we heard. Therefore, my dear boys, if you want to achieve unlimited happiness in spiritual life, there's only one path you can choose. Mahatsevam dwaram aho vimuktas tamo dwaram yosita sangha sangam mahantaste samachita prasantatma bhimanyeva sura dasadhu. My dear boys, by Mahant Sevam Dwaramahovimuktas, by serving the Mahant, the great souls, one can achieve the great result. Ahor Vimuktas, by serving the liberated souls, one become free from material attachments. Tamo Dwara Yosita Sanghi Sangam, and by taking the association of materialistic persons, you will become degraded. What is the symptom of the great soul? Mahantas Ti Samachita Prasanta. The great souls are equal to all. They are always joyful. Bhimaneva sadhus surada sadhavoya. The sadhus are never angry, and suradam, they are the well-wishing friends of everyone. Therefore, one becomes elevated, one becomes degraded only by sangha. One Guru Maharaj says, the soul is like a crystal. The soul will take on the qualities of those persons with whom it associates. If you put the crystal in a red light, the crystal will become red. If you put the soul in a blue light, the crystal will become blue. If you put the jivatma, the soul, in association of high-class devotees, he must become a high-class devotee. And if you put him in the association of degraded persons, then he will become degraded. Therefore, we have minute independence. Our independence is to choose with whom we'll associate. I remember in Badger 2-3 years ago, Guru Maharaj explained this word, Mahat Sevam. For 4 days, Guru Maharaj explained what is the meaning of Mahat. Mahat means the great souls, those who are devoted to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, one becomes elevated or degraded only by association. One time, Narad Muni was walking in the forest. Narad Muni came across one parrot. That parrot was staying in the ashram of some criminals. Therefore, the parrot had learned many bad languages. So when the parrot saw Narad Muni, it began screeching, "Chop him, cut him, grab him, bash him." Narad Muni was shocked. Then Narad Muni released the pigeon, that parrot, from the cage. The pigeon escaped. The parrot escaped. Some days after, some weeks after, Narad Muni came into another ashram where there were many sadhus. And very amazing thing, Narad Muni saw the same parrot in the cage of the sadhus. Therefore, when Narad Muni came, the parrot began to speak, "Swagatam Maharaj, welcome, take some prasad. Hari Bol, Hare Krishna." Then Narad Muni was most astonished. He asked the sadhus, "What happened to this parrot? Before he only knew bad language, but now he's become so much refined." The sadhu said, "Yes, when he first came, his language was terrible. Chop them, bash them, kill them." "No, no, don't say that. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna." In this way, one develops good qualities by association, and one develops bad qualities also by association. Therefore, our minute independence is one thing. With whom should we associate? My dear boys, if you want to become liberated from material attachment, then you'll have to perform a mahatsevam dwara. It can only be achieved by serving the perfected souls. Therefore, nishtarik vaishnav chari nishtar kebiya, vaishnav seva chari kebo nishtar. Narottam Das Thakur says, leaving the service of a vaishnav, whoever became liberated? No one. There again and again we see in the whole Srimad Bhagavatam one message. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastra Koi Labha Mantra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. By taking association of the perfected souls, one achieves all perfection. But Tamo Dwara Yosita Sangha Sangam, by associating with materialistic persons who are attached to women, the three W's, women, wealth and wine, one will also develop attachment to that. Therefore, one should always be careful to get good association. Bhagavatam says, Srimad Bhagavata Atanam. If you understand the real meaning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, then you'll have to do association with the Sadhu Sangha. Which sadhus? Swajataya Ashray Snigdas Sadhu Sangha Satobriti. You'll have to perform association with the devotees who have three symptoms. Swajataya Ashray Snigda. First, we have to fix our goal. What do we want? Our goal is Sirada Krishna Pranamo Jugala Kishore Jivana Marana Gati Ananahimo. Our goal is the service of Radha Krishna. Therefore, Guru Maharaj says, even when Ramanujacharya is next door giving a lecture, we will not go. Because Ramanujacharya is worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. We have no interest in Lakshmi Narayan. Therefore, from here we'll give pranam. Therefore, we have to do association with someone who is in the same line that we are aspiring for. For example, if you want to worship Ram, then you should take the association of someone like Hanuman. Therefore, our service is the service, our desire, our goal, our sadhya is the service of Radha Krishna. Therefore, we'll have to choose someone in that sampradaya, in the same line of thinking. Ashray Snigdha. They should be more advanced than us. If we only associate with persons who are the same as us the whole time, then how you can advance? And most importantly, snigdha. That sadhu should be affectionately inclined towards us. So when we have those three things, this can be called mahatsevam. Mahantaste samachita prashanta. The sadhus are always equal to everyone. They have no friends, they have no enemies. Bhimanyadava surata sadhavoye. They have no anger and they are the well wishes of everyone. Therefore, Vaishnava has symptoms. Asatsanga tyage Vaishnavascha stri sanga eka sadhu Krishna bhakta. Who is a real Vaishnava? Who is real association? Therefore, sat sanga. Rupa Goswami in his Upadeshamrita describes who is a sadhu and what does it mean by sanga. Only being with the sadhu may not be called sangha of the sadhu. Guru Maharaj says, the mosquito is always with the devotee, but is he doing sadhu sangha or just drinking the blood? Therefore, how to do association with the sadhu is also one art. Rupa Goswami described, no? What's that Upadeshamrita? The dati putignati guyamakti principi bunte boje teceva sadvidi pritilakshanam. There are six exchanges that we can have with a sadhu. Pritilakshanam. These are the symptoms of affection. If I have affection for someone, what will I do? The dati pritignati. What they need, I'll have to give them. Maybe sadhu is niskinchan, like Sukadeva Goswami. He has no clothes, no bhajan kutir, nothing. But at least we can give him a glass of water, a glass of milk. Therefore, dadati pritignyati, fulfilling that the sadhu may have some desire. What he needs, we'll have to give him. But the sadhu is not a collector. Dadati pritignyati. What he receives, he will also give you something. Like, everyone always gives Guru Maharaj so many boxes of sweets, but Guru Maharaj never eats sweets. Never under his bed, he always has at least 15 or 20 boxes. Anyone who comes in his room, what's the first thing Gurudev does? Take prasad. Dadati pratignyati. Even Guru Maharaj always asking the brahmacharis, you need blankets, you need sweaters, you need money. The sadhu is not collecting. What he comes, he distributes in the form of his mercy. Dadati pratignyati guyamakati princhati. One may inquire from him confidentially and receive answers from him in confidence. Bhunkte bhojadeche va sadvidi pritilakshanam. Offering of Mahaprasad to the sadhu and receiving Mahaprasad. This is called Sangha. And sadhu, sadnoti sadayati tichikrishna premati sadhu. That person who has achieved the sadhya, the supreme goal of life, and can teach you the process, the sadhana, how you can also achieve that goal, that person is a sadhu. Therefore, my dear boys, those who are interested in reviving their dormant love for Godhead, do not like to do anything which is not related to the Lord. Does that include basketball? Thus, they are not interested with associating with materialistic persons whose only goal of life is eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Therefore, the sadhus are not attached to their homes, although they may be householders, nor are they attached to their wives, their children, their wealth, their friends, or their paraphernalia. But in the same way, they are not indifferent to performing their duties. Such persons are interested only in collecting enough to keep the body and soul together. Because in this world we have a material body. Therefore, to not give sufficient for bhajan, for example, I'm not Sukadeva Goswami, I need some clothes, I need a place to sleep, I need some food. Therefore, for me to not have enough to maintain my body will be a disturbance for my spiritual life. And to collect too much may also be a disturbance. Therefore, a devotee has to be expert to maintain the right balance. Collecting too much or not collecting enough may be a disturbance for him. Rishabhdev gave many, many instructions to his sons. Very, very hard instructions, very powerful. Nunam pramata kuriti vikarma. As long as one thinks the goal of life is to be materially happy, he is to be considered completely pramata, completely mad. Therefore, the conditioned soul does not understand that this body has come as a result of his past activities. And the activities that he is doing now is making his next body. Like the caterpillar. He goes from one leaf to the next leaf. Before he leaves the first leaf, he catches hold of the second leaf. The same way this body that we have presently is made of our past activities. But materialistic persons cannot understand that their activities now, they are simply making their next body. Therefore, this body is actually a source of all misery. But foolish persons consider it to be a source of happiness. Therefore, my dear boys, I think that an intelligent man should not engage himself again in materialistic activities by which he developed this material body in the first place. Otherwise, he will receive one body after another, after another, after another. Parabhavas tavad aboja jatu yavanna gigyasata atma tattvam. My dear boys, as long as one is not inquiring to the ultimate goal of life, he will always be defeated. Therefore, if a person is engaged in any type of fruitive activity, activity for himself, that is, he is called karmatmaka. two types of persons in this world. One is called Ragatmaka, one is called Karmatmaka. Ragatmaka means isti sarasika raga paramaveshatatata. When the soul is completely engaged in attachment to the Supreme Lord, that is called Ragatmaka. And a person who is completely attached to their body is called Karmatmaka. So we have to make a choice which one is good. Therefore, my dear boys, as long as the mind is engaged in thinking of Karmatmaka, fruitive activity, endeavor for oneself, one will have to accept the material body again and again and again. Therefore, there are three types of karma. One is called karma, one is called vikarma, one is called akarma. Especially in Venice Beach area, 99% are engaged in vikarma, forbidden activity, sinful activity. Very few persons in this world are actually called karmis. Karmi bio paratohari priyatyam victoria yo maninas. Tebyo gyana vimokta bhakti premoika nishtasata. Rupa Goswami says, 99% of people in this world are two-legged animals. Not only they have no horns and no tails, but amongst them very rare to find someone who is really a karmi. A karmi means who is doing activities, pious activities for elevation to Swarga, the heavenly planets. How many people we know like that? Very, very few. Therefore, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Goswami has said, bad karma and good karma are equal in the meaning that both give you another material body. If you do good karma, you have to take birth again to enjoy the results. If you perform bad karma, you have to take birth again to suffer the results. Therefore, an intelligent person will Therefore, Raghunath Goswami says, an intelligent person will not perform good activities, nor will they perform bad activities. They'll perform akarma. Those activities which have no material reaction, which are the activities of devotion. We should not think that service to the Supreme Lord is karma, materialistic activity. No. That would be a great error. Mam choya vabacharana bhakti yogana sevati saguna samatitya brahma bhuyaya kalpita. And the Bhagavad Gita says, service to me is not under the jurisdiction of material nature. It is completely separate from it. Therefore, we can either exploit or we can reject, which are the activities of the mind, sankalpa and vikalpa, or we can choose a third way, which is the plane of dedication. What's your name, madam, in the white t-shirt? Yes, you.
Me?
Yes.
My name is
First time?
I don't think
Can you follow my idea?
Not mine. Yes.
Any question you may ask? Therefore, Rishabdev says, as long as one has not taken the path of devotion, he must be engaged in either good activities or bad activities. Thus, he is certainly not delivered from having to accept a material body again and again and again and again. Therefore, even so-called pious activities, good activities, are fraught with danger. Guru Maharaj gives an example. Imagine, do you have that in America? When you die, you go put your sign on the back of your driver's license for an organ donor. Right, we have that. Then someone might think that may be a very good activity. I am dying, but I'm giving my kidney for someone else. But what happens if your kidney goes to the next Adolf Hitler? Or George Bush? Then you will have to taste the result of his activities, because you are contributing to his activities by giving your kidney to him. Therefore, sadhu sabadan. One must be very careful. Guru Maharaj says, imagine there is a very wealthy man who is very kind. He opens a free hospital. Free medicine, free operation, free food, everything free. Then there is one criminal who is attacking a house. The owner shoots him. The criminal drags himself away. He falls unconscious on the side of the road. A well-wisher who is passing, oh, he doesn't know this is a criminal. Poor man has been mugged. He takes him to the free hospital. He's operated on. The doctors save his life. The criminal who gains strength, when he gets out of hospital, what's the first thing he does? Goes back to the house and kills the family. Then Gurumayi said, who will get the sinful reaction for the murder that man commits? The man who opened the free hospital. He has contributed to that sinful activity. Therefore, one must be very careful. Many people think the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, do karma. But Krishna never says to do karma anywhere in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, do your karma for me. Yad asnasi, yad johosi, yad tatasi tapasi, yad yad tapaswasi kuntaya, yad karosi mad arpanam. Arjuna, whatever you eat, whatever you do, what activities you perform, whatever austerities or yoga you do, do as an offering for me. Otherwise, it's the cause of birth and death. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, yes, sir? One thing, the incarnations that are mentioned in the Bhagavatam, they're not incarnations, they're called avatars. They have completely spiritual bodies. So when they take birth, we should not misunderstand and think they take a material body. Rishabhdeva has an eternal spiritual body, and that original spiritual form, he is coming from the spiritual world and descending to this world. So he's not like us to take another material body one after another. Understand? He always appears in his original spiritual body. So much difference is there. Material body is made of stool and urine. A spiritual body is made of Satchitananda, eternality, knowledge and bliss. Okay, hang on, we'll get there. We have 5 more days left, no problem. Therefore, yadame pasyati ayate guneham rishabdev. Therefore, if one, even he may consider himself to be very wise and learned, he is completely mad if he does not understand that endeavor for sense gratification is a useless waste of time. Therefore, Rishabhdev's instruction is so much uncompromising. Therefore, one may be considered to be very great in this world, very wealthy or powerful, but he's engaging himself in satisfying the senses. Rishabhdev said, it must be understood, he is completely mad. He has no real intelligence whatsoever. That person, being forgetful of his own self-interest, he simply tries to be happy in this material world, centering on material life, which is based around sexual intercourse, which only gives 5 minutes of happiness, but gives unlimited suffering. Srila Gauga Maharaj used to say, 5 minutes happiness, the result of that activity is unlimited suffering. In this way, a so-called learned person becomes no better than an animal. Like you see in India, they have the dancing monkey on the string. A man may be very, very powerful, very learned, very wealthy, but when he gets home, he becomes a dancing dog in the hands of the wife. Therefore, Rishabhdev is warming up. Pum samstriya matuni bhavam mitam toromita hridayai granti mahuhu ato grihachetra sutaptavite janasya moham yam aham mameti. Therefore, the attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which binds the heart of a male for a female and vice versa, one becomes attracted to one's body, one's home, property, children, relatives, and wife. In this way, he becomes completely mad by thinking constantly of I and mine. Therefore, one marries or one has, we should keep it, one marries. By marrying, that man will think, I will get so much happiness, and that woman also thinks, I will get so much happiness from this. And despite all their endeavors, they achieve happiness, but the result is the complete opposite. Therefore, the strong knot in the heart which binds one to this world is called material sex enjoyment. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, everyone has sex desire, sukaham hitucham, just like one has an itch. If one spends his whole life massaging the itch, what will happen? That will become an unbearable rash across his whole body. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj does not deny that sex feelings are there, but an intelligent person should just tolerate. If the itch is there and you tolerate, it will simply go away. If you continuously scratch that thing, then it will grow more and more like fire. If you put ghee into a fire, that fire will not become less, that fire will burn more and more. If one succumbs to the desires of his mind, hoping that he will find peace by that, he will not find peace. His mind and senses will become more and more agitated, more and more agitated. Therefore, one becomes bewildered and thinking, I and mine, aham mameti. I and mine means, who are you? If you're thinking, I am this body, I'm Australian, I am so much old, I'm good looking, I'm ugly, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I'm intelligent. This is called false ego. Therefore, I and mine, aham mameti, should be only towards the Supreme Lord. Therefore, if we want to think, there is false ego and real ego. False ego means, I am this body, I am the enjoyer. But real ego means, jivera surupo hoi krishna nityadas. I'm a servant of Krishna and everything is his. Therefore, the attraction between male and female, it was called the knot in the heart, rid grantas. The soul is actually completely spiritual, but somehow he has bound himself to this world. Therefore, when material circumstances are good, he feels happiness. When material circumstances are bad, he feels unhappiness because he is, how do you say, identifying with this world. Therefore, he suffers. Therefore, Rishabdev said that knot in the heart is called sexual attraction. Therefore, Prabhupada said because sexual enjoyment gives the highest happiness, therefore it's the cause of all suffering because it binds you to this world. Therefore, my dear sons, hamse guru mahi bhakti anubritya. Therefore, my dear sons, you should take the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. In this way, you should place your love and faith in me. We cannot see the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord can only be seen at the stage of perfection. But the spiritual master is more kind than the Supreme Lord because you can see him when you're not perfect. Actually, we hear often, the spiritual master is more merciful than the Lord. But Srila Tripura Maharaj will clarify that. Actually, it's not true because no one can be more than Krishna, even in the liberated stage. Krishna is God and the jiva is always the jiva. The individual soul is always the individual soul, the supreme soul is always the supreme soul. The fact that when we say the Guru is more merciful than Krishna, it's not completely true because no one can be more than Krishna at anything. But because the spiritual master extends himself to us, while the Supreme Lord does not do directly, therefore, in that way, we say the spiritual master is more kind. Therefore, my dear sons, you must accept the spiritual master and putting your faith in him, in this way, you put your faith in me. Spiritual Charles is looking worried. Charles, but spiritual master should be real spiritual master. Then you can have complete faith in him. Therefore, do not make the mistake of considering the bona fide spiritual master to be an ordinary person. Do not make the mistake of thinking that an ordinary person can be spiritual master. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, there is an eternal difference between the saved and the non-saved. What's a better word than non-saved? Huh? Unsaved. Conditioned. Therefore, my dear sons, you should detest sense enjoyment. Try to realize the miserable conditions of this world. Even there is misery in the heavenly planets. Isn't it? We'll read, even Indra, the king of the heavenly planets, so many headaches he has. Isn't it? He chops off the head of his guru. He gets cut. He has to run and hide in a lotus flower for millions of years. The demons are always kicking him out of heaven. Even the heavenly planets, so much anxiety is there. Even there is so much envy, politics, fighting, backstabbing. Therefore, my dear sons, try to understand that even the higher places of the higher planetary systems are also full of misery. My dear sons, you should always listen to discussions about the topics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you should have equal vision towards all. Abandoning, give up enmity, subdue anger and lamentation. Krishna says in the Gita, from contemplating an object with the senses comes attachment. For example, on Venice Beach, looking at a nice girl, from that comes attachment to her. Then may come lust. Then when she kicks you, then comes anger. From anger comes madness, forgetfulness, and then one again falls from the spiritual platform. Therefore, my dear boys, give up enmity, subdue anger and lamentation. Abandon identifying the self as the body. One should live peacefully in a secluded place, control the mind and the senses, have faith in the scriptures, the Vedic literatures, and always practice celibacy. Prabhupada said, Saraswati Thakur said, if you can just be celibate for one life, that's enough. Don't worry about bhajan. If you can just remain celibate, next life you'll get such an opportunity to perform devotional service. Therefore, even those persons who are married, that also means celibacy. Sex life should only be for procreating children. Therefore, because they're only meeting with their wife, or the wife is meeting with the husband, only for the service of the spiritual master and Krishna, they're also to be considered completely celibate. But hey, to find souls like that is very rare. But bhakti is also very rare. My dear sons, avoid unnecessary talks and always think of the Supreme Lord. Acquire knowledge from the right source. Thus always practice the yoga of devotion, bhakti yoga, and patiently and enthusiastically you will be elevated. In knowledge, you'll be able to give up the false ego. My dear sons, if you follow my instructions as they are, the knot in the heart will be slackened. Thus, you will achieve everything. If one is serious about going back to the spiritual world, back to home, back to Godhead, if he is a father instructing his sons, a spiritual master instructing his disciples, he must certainly instruct them as I have instructed them. We should not try to change the instructions we have received from our Guru. Our Guru Maharaj one time said, the spiritual master can forgive any offense, but he can never forgive the offense of someone who changes the Siddhanta that they've learned from the spiritual master. Therefore, Rishabhdev's teachings are like an ocean. From here we give pranam. Rishabhdev, as an ideal example, when his sons were mature, Rishabhdev took off all his clothes and went to the forest as an avadut. Avadut means someone who has reached the goal of life. Therefore, Captain Kirk, pleased to see you again. I was thinking of you yesterday. Very worried you hadn't come. Good to see you. Did you take initiation last year? No. Okay, ready this year? You're going to come every night? Last year he came every morning, every night. Therefore, accepting the feature of an avadut. Avadut means someone who comes to this world but is not affected by it. Like the sun. The sun is also like an avadut because he purifies stool, urine, garbage dumps, dirty dead bodies, maggots. But the sun is never contaminated. Therefore, an avadut is someone who comes to this world and moves in it but he's never affected by it. Therefore, Rishabhdev, he took up the occupation of an avadut. That means he acts maybe a bit eccentrically. Like my Gurudev's guru, his guru's guru, Sri Gaurakishoras Babaji Maharaj. He was also like an avadut. When Gaurakishoras Babaji Maharaj was hungry, he had no time even to waste for begging. Why should I waste time begging to fill my stomach? He'd just take some earth and eat the earth. Okay, stomach, be happy by that. Even in winter, he would never wear any clothes. Any cloth. If it was very cold, he would take some blanket from the crematorium. But he would constantly chant the holy name 24 hours a day. Therefore, when someone would come and visit him, they said, Maharaj, can I give you a donation? He used to say, yes, please donate to me your stool. Pass your stool just here, because then a bad smell will come, and materialistic persons will not come and disturb my chanting. So, avadut, no? evident means their behavior is quite extraordinary. One time, Sri Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, in order to teach us the ill effects of materialistic association, he locked himself in the toilet. That time was an Indian toilet, not like a LA toilet. Imagine hell and multiply it 50 times then. Many persons came because he was a very famous saint. Oh, Babaji Maharaj, open the door, open the door. I cannot open, I am sick. Even the district magistrate, the chief of police came. Babaji Maharaj, please open the door. We will build you a new ashram. Oh, I cannot open the door, I am very sick. But when the guru of our Gurudev came, Srila Bhakti Pragyan Kesar Maharaj. Oh, Babaji Maharaj, please open the door. I cannot open, I am sick. Oh, Babaji Maharaj, we have been sent by my Gurudev, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Then Babaji Maharaj immediately opened the door and embraced him. He said, I give you a blessing. Preach the holy name. And you, any obstacles in your life, I take those obstacles. So Guruji, my Gurudev always says, that whenever Gurudev would think of that, he would weep. So many problems came in my life, but by the blessing of Babaji Maharaj, those problems never touched me. And he would cry like that. So sometimes a greatly exalted spiritual person may adopt the activities of an avadut. That time very hard to understand their behavior. Only if you're very exalted you can understand who they are. Isn't it? Like Bamsi Das Babaji Maharaj. Like the Shiksha Guru of our Gurudev's spiritual master. He said he would never talk with anyone. He would only talk with the deities of Krishna. And he had baby, his Ishtadev, his worshipable deity was baby Gopal, baby form of Krishna. In the middle of the night, they used to hear him teaching the alphabet to Krishna. A-A-O-O-E-E-M-M-Ma. And then he would shout at the baby, hey, you can't learn, concentrate on your lessons. And people would be outside hearing, but they could not hear what Krishna was saying. Because only he could hear what Krishna was saying. Even if you asked him a question, he would answer your question by talking to the deity. Therefore, daytime or nighttime, he never knew anything else except the deity. He's Krishna. Therefore, very hard to understand someone like that. Therefore, 99% of people, because they're on a very materialistic platform, they cannot understand their activities. Therefore, we offer many things to Krishna, because Krishna is also a person. Therefore, we should feed him. Sometimes Krishna would be hungry, he had nothing to offer because he had no house, no pots, no nothing. They used to take an eggplant, cut it in half, and offer a raw eggplant. But he would also eat the prasadam, the raw eggplant prasadam. They were very hard to understand a person like that. Therefore sometimes the spiritual masters are so kind on the foolish persons like us, they do not adopt the activities of Navadut, they act like an ordinary saintly person. But that is also their kindness, their mercy. Sometimes I remember one time, we were with Gurudev, there was three or four of us, and we went to Nidavan. And Nidavan, there's many groves there, and we went three or four, and Gurudev was there chanting. And Gurudev said, why are you guys always following me? You know, he didn't exactly say that, but his mood was that. He said, I'm waiting, hoping one day I can take off my cloth, take off my Brahmin thread, and naked, like Sukadeva Goswami, Radhe, Radhe. But he's so kind, he doesn't. Because if he behaves like that, then how we can follow? How we can receive instructions? Therefore, sometimes great saintly persons, they do not adopt this behavior out of affection and mercy for us. But Rishabdev, for his own grave reasons, he left home and adopted the practice of Navadut. Therefore, he pretended to be blind, deaf, and dumb, like a ghost or a madman. Indeed, even though people always insulted him, called him bad names, he always remained silent within himself and did not speak to anyone. Thus, he used to pass stool and roll in his own stool, therefore no one would come near him. But because he's an incarnation of Godhead, that aroma of the smell smelled like nectar for 7 miles around him. Sometimes he was beaten, threatened. People would urinate on him or spit on him. They would pass air on him. People called him many bad names and gave him a great deal of trouble, but Rishabdev simply was silent, immersed in his own ecstasy. Thus he wanted to teach the conditioned souls of this world, This is the end of this body. This body is meant for that thing. Thus, he never cared for anything. He had no bodily conception. Without being angry at anyone, he walked through the whole world alone. Thus, Rishabh's hands, feet, and chest were very long. Isn't it? Everyone has a symptom. Therefore, an incarnation of the Lord or a perfected soul has these 32 symptoms. I cannot count them, but maybe all 32 symptoms are given him. His hands, feet, and chest were very long. His shoulders, face, and limbs were very delicate and perfectly proportioned. Not like me. His eyes were reddish tinged and very long, like a lotus. Anyone who saw him felt all their tribulations to be destroyed. His forehead, ears, neck, and nose, and all features were very attractive. He was very attractive, especially for the ladies, but of course he had nothing to do with them. His head was covered by curly hair. His hair was disheveled. His body was dirty and not taken care of. He appeared as if he was haunted by a ghost. Thus, while lying down, eating and drinking, he always remained separate from the activities of his body. Therefore, the time came. Rishabhdev gave up his body in a forest fire. So many persons saw the activities of Rishabhdev and they became envious of him. They tried to imitate his activities. That is the present Jain religion. Have you heard of Jainism? That's a false imitation of Rishabhdev's activities. Therefore, they follow the activities of Rishabhdev, but for their great misfortune, they end up not following the teachings of Rishabhdev. To walk around and be a madman covered in stool and urine is not very difficult, but to follow the teachings of Rishabhdev is very hard. Therefore, Rishabhdev, when he left, he put his oldest son, Bharat Maharaj, on the throne. Bharat Maharaj ki jai. Therefore, India is now called, actually it's always called, Bharat Varsh, the land of Bharat, because it's named after the great King Bharat, the son of Rishabhdev. Because his father was an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, that will always help your spiritual advancement. Because he took such good instructions from his father, Bharat Maharaj was an exalted personality. Therefore, he was so wealthy, even Indra, the king of heaven, was envious of him. But to show us one should not be attached to family life forever, at the young age of 50,000 years old, Bharat Maharaj renounced home and took sannyas. He went to the Himalayas. There in Nepal is one river called the Gandaki River. That ashram is called Pulasa Ashram. That place is still there where Bharat Maharaj performed his austerities. You know the Shalagram Shilas? Didi, Shalagram Shila jante? Pata hai, ye sab Nepal se aaye hai. So there is a special stone incarnation of Lord Vishnu. They are still there now. That time... Oh, sorry, I made a mistake. Bharat retired from home at the ripe old age of 1,000 times 10,000 years. At the age of 10 million years old, he left home as a young man. He left everything and went to the Himalaya. How did he leave everything? It said that Bharat Maharaj left everything like leaving stool. In the morning when you pass... Big turd in there, sorry. There in the bathroom. Does anybody look back, feel the texture? How is the smell? Forget that thing. You just flush that thing down the toilet. The same way Rishabhdev, he left everything, but he never looked back. He flushed his material opulence like that. Bhagavatam says like that. Like one leaves stool, he left material enjoyment very easily. There... He went to the Himalaya and began meditating. In fact, he became very, very advanced. He appeared very beautiful. Because he was taking three baths a day in the holy river of the Gandaki, his hair was often wet. He constantly worshipped Lord Narayan through meditation. These days, no one can meditate because the mind is very restless. Chanchala Himana Krishna. Arjuna says the mind is very disturbed. Who can do meditation? Therefore, we do not meditate because mind is most restless. There we perform the easy meditation of chanting of the name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By chanting automatically, all the mind and senses become absorbed in remembering and chanting the name. Therefore, meditation is automatically achieved. In fact, he became so much advanced that he would, when he would chant the holy name, tears would pour from his eyes. Thus it says, his heart, thus naturally his love for Krishna increased day by day. In fact, he lost even attachment for the rules and regulations of spiritual life because he was reaching the goal. Some people think, oh, this Gaudiya Math, this Hare Krishna has too many rules. Fast on this day, do this, wake up at this time, chant this. But don't think that rules and regulations are the goal of life, isn't it? But rules and regulations are necessary to reach the goal. Just like when we construct a building, we need scaffolding. Our goal is not scaffolding. Without scaffolding, you cannot build anything. Therefore, our goal is love of Krishna. Our goal is not rules and regulations. But we'll have to follow rules and regulations to reach the goal. Thus, he became so much advanced, he even forgot about the regulative principles. When he would chant the name, the hairs of his body would stand on end, tears would pour from his eyes as he constantly meditated on the pinkish feet of Sri Krishna. That time his heart became like a lake filled with the water of ecstatic love for the Lord, and his mind was constantly taking nectar from that lake. Thus one day when he went to take bath, one deer was there, one doe, lady deer. She was pregnant, and one lion was roaring, rah. The doe became afraid. She jumped across the river and landed on the stones very hard. By fear of the lion and by the force of the impact, she, how do you say, miscarried. No? Premature birth. She gave birth. She gave birth lying in the water, and Bharat Maharaj was on the other side of the river watching this. The baby deer was floating down the river, and the Guru Maharaj said, the deer was looking, oh, what type of saint are you? Can you not even save my baby? Therefore, Bharat Maharaj, he's an ocean of kindness. He picked the baby deer out of the water and took it back to his ashram. Thus, he was thinking, well, this is the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, that I should not shirk my responsibilities. He began collecting bits of grass, feeding to the deer. At nighttime, it's cold, he's hugging the deer. In fact, he used to go to the forest, he would find the best fruits and give to the deer. Even when he was meditate, the deer would come and poke him with its soft horns, and Bharat Maharaj would, oh. In fact, he became completely forgetful of his spiritual activities. Even when he would meditate, he would think of the deer. Thus, he became completely forgetful of the Supreme Lord, and he developed attachment for a deer. Therefore, no one can be without attachment. Therefore, the Buddhists, they try very hard for sunyavad, to become zero. No attachments to nothing. But it's impossible, because the soul is made of attachment. You cannot become detached unless you become attached to something. How you can take air out of a bucket? You cannot, unless you fill the bucket with water. How you take darkness out of a room? You cannot take darkness out until you light a torch, a candle. You cannot become free from attachment to this world unless you become attached to something spiritual. Therefore, the idea that I can become completely free from all attachment is completely imagination. Therefore, the Vaishnavas, we practice Vairagya. Vairagya means detachment. What is real detachment? Vairagya means, that people say, Vairagya means detachment. But no. Vishesh Rupena. Vairagya. Anurag. When the heart is filled with a special attraction, absorption, in Krishna, then you will automatically become detached from everything else. Therefore, the Buddhists and the yogis, they try to stop the activities of the mind and senses. But this is unnatural. The mind is there. Thinking is the process of the mind. Acting are the activities of the senses. How you can stop it? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Arjuna, what will repression accomplish? Repression will not accomplish anything. You'll just get a perverted result. Therefore, the devotees, they engage their mind, Savai Mana Krishna Padada Vindayo. They engage their mind in thinking of Krishna. Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunanu Vandana. They engage their mouth in chanting the glories of Krishna. Karao Hare Mandira Majanadiso. They engage their hands in cleaning the temple of the Lord. They engage their ears in hearing the instructions of the scriptures. They engage their nose in smelling the flowers offered to Krishna. They engage their eyes in seeing the deity form of the Lord. In this way, the mind and senses are completely absorbed in the service of the Lord. Therefore, where is the question of the mind and senses becoming absorbed in matter? Therefore, this instruction we can learn from Bharat Maharaj. No one can become free from attachment. It's simply a choice of what you become attached to. Thinking is not bad. Why do you think thinking is bad? Depends what you think of. A knife is not good or bad. Depends what you do with it. Even a shotgun is not good or bad. Depends what you do with it. Nothing is good or bad. It just depends upon utility. You cannot say the material bad is body is inherently bad. It depends what you do with it. Time is not inherently bad. Depends what you do with your time. Therefore, the body should be intelligent. I have a material body. Therefore, I use it for the best means. I should use it for the service of the Lord. Therefore, Bharat Maharaj, he gave up his attachment to the Lord. Automatically, the mind must become attached to something. The mind must have a resting place. Charles, what's the resting place of our minds? What does that mean? Most people just put their resting place back in their mind. The soul should have a resting place. What's our shelter? What's our goal? Who do we belong to? Who is our beloved? Yes. Don't try and love yourself. Love Krishna. Loving yourself is only false ego. So, we should love the soul of the souls. Everybody wants to love themselves, but what's the self of the self, the soul of the soul? Who's in the heart? In the deepest, most corner of the soul, who is there? Krishna is there, no? So we should become his. Therefore, Bharat Maharaj, he made a horrible mistake. He became attached to a deer. In fact, due to attachment for the deer, Bharat Maharaj lay down with it at night. He walked with it. He bathed with it, and he even ate from the same plate as the deer. Thus, his heart became completely bound in affection. Whenever he would go to the forest to collect firewood or fruits, he would take the deer with him. And because of fear that dogs, jackals, or lions, tigers would eat the deer, he would always protect it at night. Bharat Maharaj was very attracted by the childish behavior of the deer. His heart was so filled with love for the deer that he would embrace it and sometimes he would weep. He felt great happiness in fondling the deer. People do this with their dogs. Thus, he would often bless the deer. My dear son, may you become happy in all respects, like a madman. If Bharat Maharaj could not see the deer for a second, his mind would become disturbed and agitated. Thus, one day, the deer saw the big deer running in the forest, and the nature of the deer, he ran away also. Bharat Maharaj became so much mad. Hear what he says. Alas, the deer is now helpless, and I am most unfortunate because he has left me. Thus, because I must have had not pure love for him, he left me. How can I protect my deer from the animals in the forest? Will I ever see him again eating the soft grass? How mad. One thing he says here. Becoming completely immersed like a madman, Bharat Maharaj began thinking of the activities of the deer. Sometimes I would connect the paraphernalia for meditation, the deer would touch it with his mouth, it became polluted. I would chastise him and he would become very sad. Sometimes he would eat the fruits from my hands. Sometimes he would pretend to be, when I would pretend to meditate, he would come and butt me with his horns, which felt like drops of nectar. That time was night. Bharat Maharaj was looking at the moon. So in English we say man on the moon. But in India they say Sasidara Rupika. There's a rabbit that lives on the moon, not a man. Anyway. So Bharat Maharaj, he would look at the full moon and see the imprint of the rabbit. He'd go, that's not a rabbit, it's my deer. Seeing the footprints of the deer on the ground of his ashram, he would weep, alas, earth, you are most fortunate to have the footprint of the deer upon you. Oh moon, what austerities you must have performed. You have the picture of my deer there upon your face. Alas, alas, the earth must have performed many sacrifices to have the touch of the feet of my deer. Thus, he became raving like a madman. Bharat Maharaj forgot about death, but death never forgot about Bharat Maharaj. Therefore, death took him. At the time of death, what did he think of? A deer. What happened to him then, Charles? Can you think? What was his next birth? A deer. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives a very big warning. Yam yam vabhi smadabhavam tatatanti karevaram yavaisasti kuntaya samatad bhava bhavita. Arjuna, whatever you think of the time of death, that will be your next destination. The mind will carry you there. But don't worry. Therefore, Bharat Maharaj took birth as a deer. But because of his spiritual advancement, he was not an ordinary deer. He could remember his mistake. Deva Gurumai said, Bharat Maharaj made one mistake. He had to take three more births. And how many mistakes we are making every day? How many more births we will have to take? Jayadev. But Namabhakti Pranashati, Krishna says, my devotee is never destroyed. Therefore, even though he took birth, he fell down from his position and took birth as a deer. He was not an ordinary deer. He could remember his past births. Therefore, at birth, he ran away from his mother and went to live at the ashram of the sadhus. Because the sadhus are always discussing something about Krishna. Machita matkata prana bodhiyatis parasparam katamritis chamam tisyam tisyanticha romanticha. Krishna says, Machita matkata prana. The sadhus have given their minds, their prana, their life to me. They are always discussing about me. Katamritis chamam nityam. They were always discussing the nectar of my topics, tusyanticha, romanticha. Therefore they please themselves and please others. Therefore he stayed in the form of a deer near the ashram of the devotees and always heard her hearing and chanting. And he lamented, foolish fellow. He waited for this body to be finished. He took birth again, this time in a human form, this time in a family of brahmanas. But he learned his mistake. Therefore, Bharat Maharaj behaved like his father. Means mad. Therefore, he got the name Jad Bharat. Jad Bharat Maharaj ki jai. Jad means inert, foolish, stupid. He pretended to be that way, but actually he was not at all. He was a self-realized soul. Therefore, because he was born in a Brahmin family, he wanted to avoid the entanglement of family attachment, therefore he behaved like a madman. His father was very much excited to have a son. Therefore his father tried very hard to teach him the Gayatri Mantras and the rules of being a Brahmin. My dear son, after you go to the bathroom, you'll have to take bath, you'll have to put on tilak, face the east, chant your mantra like that. 4 months he tried to teach him the Brahma Gayatri Mantra, but Jad Bharat was never interested in learning it. Therefore, Bharat would do exactly the opposite of what his father instructed him. He would do Gayatri facing north in the toilet. He would take bath before going to the toilet. He would chant his mantra backwards, facing the wrong direction. His father tried again and again. His father had a great hope. My son will be a great scholar. But his heart was broken. Thus his father also forgot about death, and death took his father. Bharat Maharaj had many stepbrothers. Those stepbrothers were very cruel. They began thinking, well, my brother is just like an animal. Therefore, they began to treat him like an animal. He was always very careful of his association, and he feared that he may again fall down. Subal. Thus, he manifested himself before the public as a madman, magic man. Dull, blind, and deaf, so that no one ever tried to become his friend, and no one ever tried to talk with him. Are you cheating us all, Subal? But inside, he constantly thought of the feet of the Lord. In this way, he saved himself from the onslaught of non-devotee association. Therefore, his brothers mistreated him greatly. They engaged him in all types of menial activities. They used to make him work only for food. His body was as strong as a bull, and his limbs were very muscular, but he always slept outside in the dirt. He never cared whether it was winter or summer. He never covered his body at any time, and he never took bath. He only wore a dirty loincloth. People would call him bad names. Thus he was insulted and neglected by everyone, but inside he was very happy. His brothers engaged him working only for food. Thus, he didn't know actually how to work very nicely. His brother would say, dig a hole and put the earth there, but he would dig the hole there and put the earth there. He did everything backwards. His brothers used to give him the burnt rice on the bottom of the pot, any old chapatis, any old vegetables, but he never complained. He accepted everything as the mercy of the Lord. He did not hold any grudges, and he took it as if it was nectar. One time he used to be in charge of guarding the fields. That time was no electric fence. Therefore, nighttime, pigs, hogs, boars, thieves may come to steal the crop. Bharat Maharaj was put on the duty of night security. Therefore, he was always absorbed in bhajan. The birds would come and eat all the grains. Ram kachiri ram ke pet. Ajao bhai Bharat tumar pet. I made that up. All the birds belong to Ram. All the grains belong to Ram. Therefore, brothers, fill your stomach. He would not do anything properly, but nighttime he was very happy because he was in a solitary place. He could chant the holy name. One time some dacoits came. Dacoits means criminals. The leader of the criminals had no son. Therefore, he wished to perform a human sacrifice. Therefore, the first sacrifice they captured escaped, lucky for him. And the criminals were looking around for that escaped sacrifice, and they found Jadbar. They thought, well, the arrangement of the Lord. They bound him and took him as a human sacrifice. But Bharat Maharaj was a completely surrendered soul. Surrendered soul means what? One main symptom, Krishna Eka Sadhanam. He is always completely dependent upon the Lord. If someone has faith, there must be symptoms of that faith. That faith is seen in six symptoms. Surrender. Anukulyasya, sankalpya, sankalpa, pratikulyasya vajanam, rakshisyati visraso, goptite varanam tata, atmanikshepa karpanya, sadvidi prati, saranagati sadlakshanam. Therefore, a surrendered soul must have symptoms. Someone says, I love God. I love Him like nothing else. God's the best. I love Lord Jesus. Really? Then we must see some symptom of it. Otherwise, it's only talk. Therefore, love of God has a symptom. Faith in the Lord has a symptom. Sound like a Baptist. Anukulyasya sankalpa. What is favorable for the service of Krishna, He'll accept it. No matter how difficult it is. Pratikulyasya vajanam. What is unfavorable for the service of Sri Krishna, you can give up. Like Prahlad gave up his own father. Vibhasan gave up his own brother, Ravan. Bharat gave up his own mother because Kaikeyi was against the service of Ram. One must always think Krishna is my maintainer. Krishna is my protector. There must be humility. I'm a great devotee of the Lord. And and very proud. That means, Baba, you're nothing. One devotee said to Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. Prabhupada said, you're not the most nothing. There must be humility. And finally, what's the last one? Atmanivedanam. No? Completely surrendered soul. These are six symptoms of surrender. Therefore, even though Bharat was taken for the human sacrifice, Bharat did not fight. He realized this is the will of the Lord. Without the desire of Krishna, not even a blade of grass moves. Kirk, come back soon. Oh, he's sitting in a chair. Good. If you left Kirk, then I'd cry. Thus they took Bharat, and the sacrifice has to be a little fancy. They bathed him, combed his hair, put oil in his hair, gave him nice robes, gave him a big meal. Bharat thought, mercy of the Lord. He took everything, understanding this is also the mercy of Krishna. And we should see like that. Srila Srila Maharaj says, Surudam Sarva Bhutana. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am the best well-wishing friend of all. And also, Isa Sivamidam Sarvam. Krishna is the supreme controller, therefore nothing happens without his direct direction. Is that an English word? Therefore, Krishna is the only friend, our real friend, well-wisher, and he is the supreme controller. Therefore, everything that happens for us must be for our benefit. Therefore, Srila Srila Maharaj said, it will be good for us if we can see behind everything the smiling face of Krishna. We should understand everything to be his mercy, his affection. One time there was a king who was traveling with his servant, and the servant, his nature was that of a devotee. Everything that happened, the servant would say, in mercy of Krishna, the minister. One day the king fell from his horse and the king was bitten by a cobra on his little finger. The king immediately took off his sword and took off his small finger. But then the poison will not spread to the rest of the body. The king was in so much pain, blood was pumping everywhere. And the minister said, mercy of Krishna. The king became furious. What rascal you are. I lose my finger and you say it's the mercy of Krishna. Then the minister said, yes, it's true. Everything is the mercy of the Lord. Then the king said, you see what type of mercy this is? Throw him in jail. And the minister said, mercy of Krishna. King thought, this guy's nuts. The king went hunting again. This time the king was also captured by some criminals who wanted to perform a human sacrifice. The king said, stop. Oh, he only has nine fingers. Nine Finger Freddy. How we can sacrifice him if he only has nine fingers? It's not a bona fide sacrifice. Therefore the criminals released him. And the king was weeping, really? I lost my fingers, the mercy of Krishna. The king went to the minister, I'm most sorry, I could not understand the workings of Krishna. But tell me, you are put in jail, how is that the mercy of Krishna? And the minister said, listen, I'm always with you. So if you had been captured by the dacoits, I also would have been captured. But unfortunately for me, I have 10 fingers. If I am put in jail, is the mercy of Krishna. Therefore, sometimes things happen to us we cannot understand at that time. How that is the mercy of the Lord. But afterwards we'll understand. Therefore, Bharat Maharaj gave that perfect example. Sometimes we think when we win lottery, that's the mercy of Krishna. But when my car gets stolen, that's not the mercy. But everything is his mercy. In fact, afterwards we hear, when Krishna gives special mercy to anyone, he takes away everything they have. So don't look ready for that, Vijay. So Bharat Maharaj considered everything to be the direction and the mercy of the Lord. They fed him, massaged him, oiled him up, combed his hair, gave him a new suit, gave him a big feast. Bharat Maharaj accepted everything, good and bad. They took him before the deity of Kali. Kali means Maya, Mahamaya, the Bahiranga Shakti of the Lord. Therefore, the leader of the dacoits took their axe and went to axe his head off. Bharat Maharaj, a completely surrendered soul, he realizes, I'm not this body. I'm the soul. Therefore, the soul is no birth and death. Only the body will die. They went to take off his head. Bharat Maharaj never did anything. But Kali, Durga, Maya, she could not tolerate. She immediately burst out of the Vigraha, took the axe and took off the head of the so-called priest, and she began cutting off the heads of all the dacoits. But Bharat Maharaj remained completely unaffected. said the Pisachis who were with Maya, they began drinking the hot blood coming from the neck of the dacoits. Then Maya came herself and did pranams to Bharat. Please forgive me. You are a servant of Lord Vishnu, but I could not come earlier. Therefore, please give me your blessings. But Bharat never even looked at her. He just ignored her. It says like that, Rishikesh Govinda Seva Na Pujaye Devadeva. One who serves Rishikesh Govinda, then why has to serve anyone else? Even so, Bharat Maharaj neglected even. Guru Maharaj one time says, if you go to the temple of Lord Shiva or any Deva, and you chant Harinam, you don't even give pranams, Guru Maharaj one time said, that Lord Shiva will laugh. Just see how great the devotees of Vishnu are. They don't even care for me. He'll laugh. He'll be happy. But still we give respect to Devas because we're not on that level of Bharat Maharaj. Therefore, Bharat Maharaj performed many wonderful activities. Another time, so, here Sukadeva Goswami says, when an envious person commits offense to a great personality, he is always punished as mentioned above. So we should be careful of Vaishnava Parad. Therefore, the devotees always take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord Krishna, even at all times, even if threatened by decapitation, they remain completely unagitated. For them, this is nothing wonderful. Another time when Bharat Maharaj was in the field, the king of Sindhudesh is present-day Pakistan. He was being carried in a palanquin. One of the palanquin carriers had a sprained ankle. Therefore, they were looking for a spare tire, a replacement. Thank you. They saw Bharat Maharaj was very large body, large form, very strong. Therefore, by force, they grabbed Bharat Maharaj and engaged him in carrying the palanquin. But Bharat Maharaj, as he was walking, he can understand he is equal towards all souls. He can understand the soul is there in all bodies, only their form may be different. Therefore, he saw everyone as brothers. One who loves Krishna must also understand and love everything in the creation of Krishna. Therefore, for this reason, we have vegetarianism, amongst other reasons. As Bharat Maharaj was walking, there were many insects on the road. Thus, he was avoiding treading on the ants by moving side to side. And the king inside, he cracked his head on the beam of the palanquin. The king had so much false ego, must be. He began to roar. What are you doing? Why are you not carrying this properly? You better be careful of me. When the other carriers heard the words of the king, they became afraid. They said, King, it is not our fault. We are not negligently carrying you. We are carrying you with great care and attention. But this new fellow is giving problem. He is not walking properly. He is not walking swiftly. We cannot carry the palanquin because he's moving side to side. Therefore, the king could understand only one person was at fault. The king, because of his material pride, he could not understand the position of a devotee like Bharat Maharaj, who is like a fire covered by ashes. His perfection was not manifest because he was keeping himself covered position. Therefore, the king began to speak sarcastic words to the great soul, Bharat. Oh, my dear brother, the king is saying from the palanquin, my dear brother, you must be very tired because you have carried this palanquin for such a long distance. Actually, he just joined. So the king is being very sarcastic. Because you are carrying this palanquin alone without assistance for such a great distance, you must be very tired. Besides that, I can see you are very old and weak. You are not very strong, very firm, or very stout. Are your friends not cooperating with you? But he remained completely unaffected. He did not say anything. He began carrying the palanquin as before. Again, he was moving side to side to avoid the ants. This time, the king became most angry. You rascal! Are you dead despite the life in your body? Don't you know who I am? I'm king! I'm your master! You are disregarding me, not obeying my instructions, therefore I will punish you with death. I will give you the proper treatment, and thus you will come to your senses and do the right thing. Thus, out of madness, the king chastised Bharat. Bharat simply smiled. He said, "My dear king, what you have spoken sarcastically is definitely true. Actually, these are not simply words of chastisement, but actually I'm not feeling any trouble at all because I have nothing to do with this body. I am not carrying this palanquin. Therefore, the palanquin, this body, and this journey have nothing to do with me whatsoever because I am the soul. I am not this body. I am different from this body. I am different from this journey. I am not carrying this palanquin. Therefore, I have not labored at all in carrying the palanquin. I feel no difficulty whatsoever. You have asked that I am not stout and strong, but that means you are first-class fool because you do not know the difference between the Atma, the soul, and the body. The body may be fat or thin, but no learned man, no realized man can say that about the soul. Therefore, I am not fat, nor skinny, nor old, nor young, nor stout, nor strong, nor anything else that you have called me. Because all these words relate only to the body and not to me. O king, fatness, thinness, bodily and mental distress, thirst, hunger, fear, disagreement, desire for material happiness, old age, sleep, attachment, anger, lamentation, illusion are all transformations of the mind and nothing else. A person absorbed in the material bodily conception of life will definitely think like you. Therefore, king, I am not fat, nor skinny, nor anything else that you have called me. O king, you have said, are you dead despite the life in your body? But king, I may inform you, this is the same for everyone, because all bodies are already dead. This body is made of what? Atoms, elements, stool, urine, skin, nails, hair, pus, blood. None of these things have life. Therefore, king, what you have said is true. Am I dead despite the life in the body? Of course. This body is already dead. It's only moving because the life, the soul, is there. Therefore, as far as you thinking that you are the king and I am your servant, is it true? I say to you, king, this is only temporary. Next life I may be master and you may be servant. The positions may be changed. These are temporary circumstances created by one's past activities. But still, king, if you think that you are really the king and I am your servant, then how I can serve you? Should I carry your palanquin again? And if you think that I am really mad, then your words of chastisement are also useless. Just like beating a dead horse gets no result, if I really am mad, your words are also, and your punishment is also useless. But I tell you, king, I am not a madman. I am a self-realized soul. When King Rahuganat, who was in the palanquin, when he heard the instructions coming from the mouth of Bharat Maharaj, his mind became completely astonished. He jumped off the palanquin and fell at the feet of that great soul, weeping. He asked, when Rahuganat, how he can understand who is a real devotee? You cannot understand just by looking at him. Maybe he's big and fat, maybe he's skinny. He may be very wealthy, he may be very poor. You cannot judge someone's spirituality just by their external form. You can only understand when you hear their instructions from their mouth. Therefore, Prabhupada used to say, don't try and see the spiritual master, try and hear him. Don't try and see Krishna, try and hear him. We can understand someone's spiritual position by the instructions they give. When the king heard the conclusions coming from the mouth of Bharat Maharaj, which were completely in line with all the conclusions of the scriptures, he jumped off the palanquin and fell flat at the feet of the great soul, Jad Bharat. He prayed, O great soul, you appeared to be covered and unknown to others. Who are you? Are you a learned Brahmin? Are you a saintly person? I see that you are wearing a sacred thread, but that thread was black because he never used it. Are you Dattatreya? Whose disciple are you? Where do you live? Why have you come to this place? What is your mission in coming here? Please let me know who you are. O dear sir, I am not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of the thunderbolt of Indra. I'm not afraid of any snake or the trident of Lord Shiva. I'm not even afraid of Yamaraj, the god of death. I'm not afraid of fire, sun, the moon, wind, or any weapon. I'm afraid of only one thing, offending the feet of a great personality. Therefore, he had some common sense, no? Therefore, sometimes you may make some offense. What is the remedy? You have to fall and beg forgiveness. Your great spiritual advancement is covered. You are moving in this world unknown to others. Therefore, you have explained the words, which are completely in line with the process of yoga, but I am most unfortunate, I cannot understand your words. But I see that by your instructions, you are the most exalted of learned personalities. You have descended to this world for the benefit of the humans, the human society. I am asking, O spiritual master, what is the supreme shelter in this world? Okay, Charles? What's the supreme goal, the supreme shelter? You'll be surprised. Listen to the answer. I have come, actually, the king had been traveling to meet Kapiladev, the incarnation of Godhead. Last night we heard his instructions. The king was traveling to that place to hear some spiritual instructions, but the arrangement of the Lord, he met Bharat Maharaj on the way. Therefore, one is ready for spiritual master. Krishna himself will arrange everything. That teaching is there. Therefore, Bharat Maharaj gave him instructions. The king said, I cannot understand your words. Your words appear to be not correct in some way. Because there must be some relationship between the soul, the mind, and the body. Guru Maharaj gives an example. Rahuganath was saying, when you make a fire, the fire heats the pot. The pot boils the water, and then the rice in the pot becomes cooked. Therefore, King Rahuganath said, there must be a relationship between the body and soul, because the body feels happiness and distress. That registers in the mind, and then the soul says, ouch, or mmm. There's a relationship between the body and the soul. Then Rahuganath said, King, you are very foolish. There is no relationship at all. The soul and the body and the mind are completely separate. Therefore, Bharat Maharaj gave wonderful instructions to the king. By his instructions, the king's false ego was completely dismantled. The king could understand his position as an eternal servant of the Lord. Thus, Bharat Maharaj explained the mind. O king, birth and death in this world is caused by one thing. What's that, Radhika? The mind. Therefore, is the mind only which causes the soul to wander in this world of both birth and death through the millions of different species. Therefore, learned souls say that the appearance, bondage and liberation are caused by the mind only. And Bhagavad Gita Krishna says the same thing. The mind, when it's directed towards me, is the cause of liberation. And the mind, when it's directed towards forgetfulness of Krishna, is the cause of birth and death. Thus, Bharat Maharaj said, the mind is just like an uncontrolled mad elephant. Isn't that a fact? Just like no one can control an uncontrolled elephant, who can control the mind? Therefore, the mind is the cause of, when the mind becomes unattached to this world, it's the cause of liberation. And then when the mind is attached, what happens, Madhu? It causes bondage. Just like a lamp. When the flame in a lamp burns the wick properly, there is illumination. But when the wick in the lamp is improperly set, it causes darkness, soot. The same way when the mind is absorbed in sense gratification, the mind causes ignorance. And when the mind is cultivating spiritual advancement, the mind is the cause of liberation. He gives an understanding of the position of the material body, 24 elements of creation. 11 main senses are there. Karmendriya, the activities of action, moving of the hands and legs, digestion, speech, evacuation from the bowels and the genitals, 5 senses of activity, 5 senses of inquiring knowledge, sight, smell, tasting, hearing, and touch. But the 11th sense which controls them all is the mind. Therefore, Krishna says in the Gita, Man mana baba madbhakto, Arjuna, always think of me. That's the main thing. Therefore, the mind is the cause of all happiness and all distress. Therefore, finally, the uncontrolled mind is the greatest enemy of the soul. If one neglects the mind or gives it a chance, it will grow more and more powerful. Although the mind is not factual, the mind is very strong. The mind covers the constitutional position of the soul. We are all eternal servitors of the Supreme Lord. Sri Krishna, Jai, we cannot understand because we are covered by the mind. And mind is there covered by the body. Therefore, the mind is, even though it's very subtle, it covers the sarup, the real nature of the soul. Therefore, the answer to the king's question, what answer did the king ask? O Gurudev, tell me the supreme shelter. Therefore, O king, try to conquer this mind by the weapon of service to the feet of the spiritual master and the congregational chanting of the holy name. What are the 2 shelters, Charles? You can get a tattoo here. The service of the spiritual master and the service of the chanting of the holy name. 2 shelters. Krishna is so kind, Krishna has incarnated in the form of his own sound incarnation. Harinam, the sound of his own name. Therefore, Rahuganath gave many instructions, Jadbhara gave many instructions to the king. And he describes the forest of material enjoyment. This is another good one. Put on your seatbelts. Therefore, Bharat Maharaj explains, the living entity in this world is like a merchant. A merchant goes here and there looking for business. The soul comes to this material world looking for sense enjoyment. Therefore, what happens? O King Rahuganath, listen, isn't it? This world is called Ban. The Buddhists try for Nirvana. They want to get out of the forest of the material world. Okay. You may be out of the forest, but it doesn't mean you're home. Therefore, great souls like Sankaracharya have spoken about liberation. But what happens after liberation? They remain silent. Therefore, our goal is not just to become free from birth and death. What would you do after you're free from birth and death? Then you begin the activities of liberation, of dedication and service to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the king listened. O Rahuganath, listen. In the forest of this material world, the conditioned soul enters this world in order to acquire some gain from the forest. Like LA is like a forest, we're here trying to collect something from the forest, some enjoyment. But what happens in the forest? He meets 6 bandits who beat him and take everything he has. Lust, greed, anger, enviousness, illusion, and madness. Because the conditioned soul means the soul in this material world does not know how to spend his real wealth. Everything is taken by the plunderers. Like a thief takes away everything, like a tiger takes a lamb, in the same way criminals and enemies in the form of wife or children, and for a woman that means children and the husband, they enter the heart of the merchant and take away everything he has, all his intelligence. In the forest, there are many mosquitoes biting him constantly. That means many envious persons. Sometimes, he is haunted by a ghost and becomes mad. Means, he sees some wealth like a ghost. You see him, then he causes you disturbance and goes. He sees wealth, tries to catch it, but it escapes from his grip. His intelligence in the forests of the material world, his intelligence is lost. He runs here and there trying to be happy. Sometimes his eyes are blinded by the dust in the whirlwind. That means the beauty of the wife. At times he becomes so much lusty he cannot understand what to do or what not to do. Thus his eyes become completely blinded by attraction to the opposite sex. He cannot see where to go or what to do. Sometimes, as he wanders in the forest, the crickets making so much noise he gets a headache. That means criticism of others. Sometimes his heart is pained by the sound of owls in the night. Sometimes he takes shelter of a tree which has no flowers or fruit. And sometimes he tries to acquire water, therefore he runs after the mirage and becomes further and further away. Burning in the heat, he jumps into a shallow river and cracks his head. That means he takes shelter of some bogus swami or some bogus process. He goes there to try and get relief, but he cracks his head. Sai Baba steals all his money. Sometimes he feels burning from the forest fire of the materialistic way of life. Sometimes he is plundered by kings in the name of heavy taxes. Sometimes he's defeated by superiors, he loses all his wealth, he becomes very sad. Sometimes he achieves happiness, but that happiness is very fleeting, only for a second. Sometimes he tries to climb the hills, but his feet are pricked by thorns and sharp stones in the forms of many, many obstacles. Sometimes he becomes angry with his family members. Sometimes he is caught by a python and crushed. That means some cheater takes away everything he has, or some false spiritual master. Sometimes a poison snake bites him, he becomes ill. Sometimes he falls into the hidden well of hellish life with no hope of being rescued. Sometimes, in order to have a minute amount of sexual happiness, he chases after a debauched woman. When the woman's boyfriend or husband or family members catch him, they beat him. This is like going when he tries to find some honey, but he's stung by the bees. Many persons also want that same girl. There's so much competition. Therefore, even though he gets a debauched woman from enjoyment, that debauched woman is stolen by another debauched fellow. He spends his whole life trying to protect himself from the wind, the rain, the fire. He cannot understand what to do or what not to do. Sometimes he follows the wrong path in the forest and becomes even more lost. Sometimes he goes to beg money for others and he is chastised. Therefore, king. In this way, the living entity wanders on the path of material happiness. And he is always defeated. Nonetheless, no one knows how to get out of this forest, even up to the moment of death. Therefore, this is the forest of material life. Sometimes in the forest, he sees monkeys jumping branch to branch. Subscribe. The monkeys are very happy in sexual enjoyment. That means sometimes the Prabhupada describes here, even though he has the good fortune to become to a bona fide spiritual master, he leaves the instructions of the gurus and again falls into mundane sensual enjoyment. That time, like one monkey looking in the face of another monkey, the sudras feel happiness. Therefore, my dear Rahuganath, you are also a victim of this forest. You must give up this desire to be happy in this material world. Give up attraction for the sense objects by the sword of devotional service to Guru and the Vaishnavas. Understand? How you can cut the knot in the heart by service to the Guru and by chanting the holy name. By service to the perfected souls, you will be able to cut the knot in the heart which bounds the soul to this world. Therefore, finally, the king thought, you've given me so many instructions, but I cannot follow. How I can realize all this? And Bharat Maharaj says, Rahuganath tapasanajati na chandasa na chigya neva bohadgari hadva na chandasa naiva julagda suja bina mahatpada rajobhishekam. O king, the soul cannot be understood by taking sannyas, nor by worshipping the deity, nor by performing austerities. Ne jeva sulagja sudya. Jala means water. In wintertime, the yogis submerge themselves up to the neck in the water. And in summer, they surround themselves by fire and meditate in the burning sun. You cannot realize the soul by any of these things. Niskint, what is the last word? Rahugana natapashana jati. You cannot realize the soul by taking sannyas, by performing your independent speculative austerities. You cannot understand by standing in the water or by forming meditation in the sun. You cannot understand it by going to the forest. You can only understand when yat padarajobishekam niskinchanasyaba padarajobishekam. You can only understand the soul when you fall at the feet of a perfected soul who has nothing to do with the material enjoyment of this world. Take the foot dust from his head and abhishek your head with the foot dust of a perfected soul. Understand, Charles? You cannot understand by your own efforts. You can only understand by the mercy of perfected souls, the spiritual master and the guru parampara. Therefore, Bharat Maharaj ki jai. One kirtan.